Dumpsk 2 is out now as well. It's a mountain bike and BMX game where you pull off tricks
Stop
like the
firing hands.
like the left-sided 180 one-hander and the skinny back bone tail flip twister.
That's how I sit down on the chair before the bike.
Hello and welcome to the iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 187. I'm the host, Will Wilson, and with me is James Gilmore.
Hello there.
And Keith Andrew.
Hello.
How is everyone?
I've just been explaining I've got a headache. So if you could all kind of keep quiet throughout this podcast, it would be helpful.
If you could ideally not say anything during this podcast.
Just whisper it, please.
That would be grand. It's going to be a purely visual podcast.
Type it in the Skype window and I'll relay it to our listeners.
we'll get pictures. We'll get someone to sign it out, you know, sign language style, and we'll just put a series of pictures down at the bottom. It will be a first for podcasting.
It's an idea, isn't it? Sign language podcast. Oh, Will is actually taking me serious now and is typing in the window. So we'd better move on to the news, he said. That's quick.
News! Let's talk about news. What's first up this week? I guess first up is that this podcast has been nominated for an award, which is nice.
Are we talking about that? I thought that might put pressure on us.
To actually be good or something. Yeah, informative, interesting.
We're very conscious now that people might be listening.
I've sent off a few variations on the profile for the website, because they asked for profiles from the writers and all nominations. So I sent off a few for Kristen to have a look at. And do you want to hear some of them?
Yeah, come on.
Let me just find the email.
They have to do pictures as well, don't they?
I don't know, I hope not. Oh yeah, they do, yeah. We're using the logo.
Put clothes back on then.
Here's my first draft. The Pocket Game iPhone Gaming Podcast is hosted by Will Wilson with regular guests Keith Andrew, Peter Willington and James Gilmore. The first 5 minutes of the podcast is free for all to listen to, but the rest needs PG bucks to unlock. PG Bucks is the best way we can action the consumer into active engagement of our product while circumnavigating traditional demographic barriers, Will said, before diving into a ditch and crying his little eyes out.
I like it. It's the future, so I hear.
But if that was the first one and you did, how many, three, did you
three.
Say?
Yeah.
Did Kristen not go for that?
Well, I didn't ask. I said I'd work on it because that was just the first draft. So the second draft, I think you'll both agree, is a little bit better. It starts with the same, you know, blah, 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 podcast hosted by blah, blah. Certified IAP3, free by an independent monetization committee, the PG podcast continues to struggle against Zynga's Pocket Gaming with Friends podcast in the App Store, which our legal team has advised us not to mention.
I see a theme emerging. Satirical biographies. I like it.
I don't know what you're supposed to write for these things, though. I mean, what do you say?
I know, it's strange. Whenever anyone asks you to... It's the same thing with personal statements and stuff. Anyone asks you to describe, what is this thing you do? You have to find this line between being informative, being, like, selling your strong points, but not being too arrogant and boastful. And really, the only way to do it is just go, I'm amazing. I once applied to a music course. And they asked me for the personal statement bio, and I just said, I've got music, I've got rhythm, I've got music, who could ask for anything? I did get in.
It's the same as a personal ad for all those Lonely Hearts ads we put out, really, isn't it? You've got to big yourself up.
What's all this wee business?
Personal ads we put out.
Well, I actually put in personal ads for you two as well, so.
It's not very personal at all. Have I got any replies?
No. We'll send you one, actually. So, yeah.
That's convenient. I already have him on my phone.
Anyway, so yeah, so we've been nominated for a Games Media Award, which is nice. It's very nice.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Whoever did that.
Yeah, whoever did that. That was very nice. So, yes, but we'll move on to proper news. App Olympics, the end of the first week. This is proper news, by the way. The fucking game App Olympics has finished. the first week of. Anyway, we're still going for the other two more weeks. And if you didn't already know, it's where you guys, as well as us guys, get to vote on our favourite sort of semi-genre related games. So we had running games and fighting games up first week. And the winners of both were, well, Cannonbolt took the gold medal. It's the most popular running game.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
27% of the votes. With Quop in second.
That's mental.
A Mega Run in third. So it actually beat Temple Run.
Oh, so it did. No Temple Run. Wow. That's an upset.
That was a big upset.
Yeah, word.
Who could imagine? Only sports could deliver such an upsetting event.
You missed all this last week, James. All this nasal commentating.
I haven't caught up yet. I probably should.
Put the sport in your ears.
It's Will and Peter pretending to be. I don't know who they're actually pretending to be, but just generic.
The voice commentator. Of sport.
It's a nasal adenoidy banter going on that I've missed out on. Crushing shame.
In a way, this discussion kind of reminds me of the 1986 World Cup final. Yes, the best fighting game went to Street Fighter 4, which also got 27% of the ballot.
Wasn't one of our writers very keen on?
Yeah, Rich kind of abused the fact that you can vote multiple times and voted for WrestleFest Premium about 20 times.
Oh, is that the one he voted? Oh, I see.
Which may explain why it's got the silver medal in the fighting over Soul Calibur.
Yes.
Also, well, I like it. If you notice, listeners, whenever Rich does, you can tell Rich's handiwork has been on something, because if a wrestling game comes up, he puts in the names of the wrestlers, like he inserts it to the writer's story in the headline. So you would just see this really long headline with like names of wrestlers that Rich knows and likes.
Especially if you've written it, because you're like, wow, I never knew I knew so much about wrestling.
It's like Will Wilson writing about wrestling. Wow, Will knows a lot about wrestling. No, I don't. That's Rich. Soul Calibur was bronze. But that beats other contenders, like who else was in the fighting? X-Men, the classic X-Men arcade machine, and quite a few other good ones actually.
What was the Capcom versus whatever?
It's not out yet.
Is that not out yet still? Oh, I thought that had come out and people were complaining about.
Are you from the future?
Quite possibly. It's warm out here. I know. I thought there was one that had been released, and people were whining about the touchscreen controls not being good enough. Something versus something. You know, one of the Dreamcast ones or something.
It's not Street Fighter X Tekken. Capcom versus.
Marvel versus Capcom
Marvel
2.
Marvel versus Tekken. Yeah, that one.
I am. See, I knew I was from the present. Yeah, that one. People were really looking forward to that, and
that's from the past.
All right.
To be fair, people still moan about games that haven't come out anyway. To be honest, so
I'll do it all, past, present, and future. It's all rubbish.
We all just like moaning, especially me. Yeah.
You know what? I'll move on to a story which will let us all have a bit of a moan. iPhone 5, 5.2 prototype.
Comma.
Well, what? No, that's real. That's what the quote is. That's the actual quote. I wanted to edit that headline so badly.
5.2. They're not calling anything 5.2.
Well, I know, but that's what it... Anyway, we're sort of jumping ahead. a device called an iPhone 5.2 has popped up in a few server logs around the internet, which sort of suggests, I mean, you know, logically speaking, they'll be doing this anyway, that Apple are doing some tests, 5 tests with finished models.
They should test them.
Yeah, I know.
That's good.
It's got to that point where any sort of piece of Apple news. He said,
"Well, with us, you mean?"
He said, knowing full well that he hands out the news assignments. But yes. You know what I mean. It's like, you know, I mean, it's a popular story. This one, it's in our top 5 popular stories.
Yeah, well, it's got the word iPhone in it. That's why.
People like just tiny bits of information.
Stop writing all these and just like every day just put, there's an iPhone coming out soon.
And
that's
and
all
one
we
next
need.
Year, and one
that's
next
all,
year.
Yeah, and the one after. That's all these this are.
Make one of those websites where it just like, is the iPhone out yet? And it just says soon.
Yeah, it'll get billions of hits. It'll be amazing. But yes, iPhone 5, 2, which is so visually upsetting, isn't it? My God.
Right, it's just code.
Looks, didn't mean to say this last week, that there's that rumor that it'll be the new iPhone now anyway.
Yeah,
I got quite upset about that for some reason. But.
Well, they're talking about
I could see that happening.
They're talking about the new iPad being the iPad 3, as in the next iPad that comes being the iPad 3. And this is like a holding pattern. The new iPad was like 2.5 or something. And that's why they didn't call it a 3.
Oh, isn't it the third iPad? So it would be iPad 3.
Well, you'd think, but the new iPad was the third iPad, and they didn't call it the iPad 3. Wait, the new iPad, didn't they?
This iPhone would be iPhone 7, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 6, I think.
6, oh yeah, because you didn't have an iPhone 2.
Or 1, yeah. Yes. Oh no, you did have 1.
iPhone 3G, 3GS, yeah. 4, 4S. So yeah, it would be number 6, this really. I much prefer 5.2. It's just much catchier, isn't it?
So. Yeah. Hey, you got the new iPhone 5.2? No? Is this another one of those crap genius adverts you just started running? Maybe. Yeah.
Not good.
Flipping hate those adverts. They're rubbish.
Besides, over here, their geniuses, you know, they're all from like Barnsley or something, so they don't talk like that guy.
Yeah, you need to hold down the power switch. Just hold it down for 3 or 4 seconds. You're fine now.
Like Barnsley meets Moscow, that's...
Welcome back. I always seem to throw my Russian accent in.
I also like to think that our advertising guys or our geniuses don't treat you like you're mentally impaired, which the ones on the US advert seem to be. Are you a complete moron? You are. Well, in that case, it's like this is not going to encourage me to buy your phone. You're just calling me an idiot for asking a question.
I've not seen them over here yet, so maybe we've been spared them.
I don't know.
They'll redub them.
Yeah, they'll redub. Like a Kinder Surprise advert.
I love it when they do that. It's so absolutely disconcerting.
Ferrero Rocher.
I love the fact that Kinder was one of the very few companies that did dub adverts during, like, you know, when everyone else wasn't. It was like, let's just dub it. It sort of had its own character. Anyway, we should go on to another story about characters, or more specifically one with character, because the Walking Dead, the game, has been very... it's very good. I mean, it's actually surprisingly good.
I keep meaning to download this, because I was having to look at the artwork the other day, and it's gorgeous. And I just kind of thought, I want to play this. Then I realized I don't like video games, and so I talked myself out of it.
Just wise move, Keith.
Well, but the news isn't technically about The Walking Dead, although it does concern it. But it's Telltale's comments to our, I believe, our sister site, PocketGamer.biz.
Who? What?
I know, I never heard of them until today.
Is that's not even a proper domain, whatever.
I know, it's probably like Fiverr for 5 years.
Probably WordPress.
Be better, actually. We should go for that.
That's for both sides. So probably be better on WordPress. But yeah. Anyway, so yes. Telltale's released The Walking Dead game for iOS, and they priced it at $4.99 in dollars for iPhone, which is $2.99, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. And $6.99 on iPad, which is $4.99, I think, in pounds. So it's quite expensive for a App Store game, with the option of buying the whole series for like £10 and $15, but in response to why, about the pricing of App Store games, they said they've had a good success selling episodes of their titles at these sort of prices, and they say that the idea of a 99-cent or 69p gamer on iOS is more a myth than a fact. It's the quality and depth of each product that will drive the right price. Sort of suggesting that sort of... it's sort of utopian now considered, a utopian view of the App Store, in the sense that you can charge what the quality of the product is worth, if you get what I mean. Because I know a lot of developers really want to believe that.
Yeah, like it's like an interesting view for them to have, because they've got an IP behind it. Not that I've never watched anything of it, but I know it's a name. And it looks gorgeous. I think if you're browsing the App Store and you happened across the screenshot of that, you would realize that that was a in the same way that people would, you know, would look at Infinity Blade, would realize that that was a game that was worth perhaps paying more for. Not that I like Infinity Blade, but you know what I mean. But I mean, it's interesting because you like there's like developers all just they can only talk about what they know, and so if they've got a game out that's $4.99 and it's selling, then their view is naturally going to be that of course you can sell games for $4.99. Whereas there are a hatful, you know, more than a hatful, several hatfuls of developers that can't even sell at 99 cents, and would say, well, you can't. And it's like just the more and more you listen to developers, the more you kind of realize that no one has the answer. Everyone's looking for this answer of, you know, oh, I can sell my game at $5 then. Oh, I can. And then they will do it and they'll realize they can't. And it's a case by case basis. No one really knows what they're doing when you actually kind of look into it more and more. So, I mean, they're having success at $4.99, but it would be interesting to see if they had another game. You know, and people know Telltale Games as well. So it'd be interesting if they weren't called that, if no one had heard of them, and they had an IP that no one knew of, what price they'd be able to sell it at.
I do think context has an awful lot to do with it. I mean, looking at the App Store, like top 20 sort of paid games and things, there is a mixture of stuff. Like the vast majority, like Great Little War Game, Where's My Water, Where's My Perry, Cut the Rope, they are all at this 69p thing, price point. But then you do have stuff like Football Manager, which is at $6.99, and Minecraft, obviously, which is at a fiver, which is also both still in the top 10. So people clearly are prepared to cough up more money if they believe in either the IP or they believe in the publisher or something.
I think it's the wrong question. Everyone's kind of obsessed with the price point. Really, it doesn't really matter what price you sell the game at. It's how much it makes the most money at. And it's almost a slight bit of prestige in wanting to be able to, you know, sell at that price. Obviously, if they can sell at $4.99, that's great, but another developer might be able to sell at, you know, $6.99 or free in-app purchase and make actually more money. So everyone's kind of searching for what's this price we should be selling our game at, when really that's the wrong question. Really, it should be what is going to make the most money, you know, how are we best going to monetize.
Unfortunately that answer seems to only be freemium.
Well, yeah, but yeah, I mean, it just depends on the game by game. I think there will always be games that people will want to pay up front for, but I don't think it's even as simple as saying, well, games that are a huge license or games that everyone knows of. I think there are still games that can come out of nowhere and you could charge $4.99 for, but it's just, I think it's impossible to draw up a hard and fast kind of rules for people, which is what everyone seems to want, because everyone's kind of stumbling around in the dark, kind of unsure. And of course, everyone's livelihoods depend on this. So, yeah, it's a bit of a downer there. Yeah.
I can't see Real Racing 3 coming out at 69p.
No.
And I think that's a direct relation to the fact you look at it and you go, wow, that looks incredible. Like, and, if they slap a $4.99 price tag on it, then even just going by the videos, a lot of consumers might be like, oh, well, you know what, actually fair play. I mean, it kind of looks closer to console quality or something. So yeah, they would mentally justify it, you know.
Right, but let's chirp up a bit.
Great.
Thank you. Well, you always had a go at my links, Keith.
So I don't know what you're going into something.
You're
like,
laughing now, huh? You're laughing now at me.
I get what you're going into now. I hadn't actually looked ahead.
I'm the king of the links. that means I'm a golfer, doesn't it?
Possibly.
Yeah.
It was a good link, but now you've drawn far too much attention to it.
This is why we won't win those awards.
Speaking of links.
Yeah, speaking of birds, Angry Birds. We'll do our regular Angry Birds update. There's a new bird joining. That's it.
In both senses. There you go. There is a new bird joining, and there's and it's.
See, it's like if you get we do get said PR like, hey, my nondescript game you've never heard of has got a new character, and you think, yeah, whatever, and then Angry Birds just releases a picture of eyes, and the whole world goes mad.
Well, they've just released the teaser video, which is like 3 minutes long, professional animation with, you know, pink ladybird blowing a bubble that looks like an egg.
Male so far, then? Is this the first woman?
Yeah, it's the first ladybird.
Never noticed. Yeah. I didn't think about them as having genders, to be honest.
I know, but now you do, because they've made an anthropomorphic female.
So they're no longer asexual birds. They are so
male now.
She has pink eyelids.
She's pink. She's pink.
She's entirely pink.
I think she has a ribbon as well on her hair.
She's pink. She has the eyelashes, so she's clearly a female. And she has a bubble blowing stick, which she's not holding, is she? It's like coming out of her body as some kind of freakish bionic extension.
We mustn't judge. Who's to say it's a woman?
It's definitely a woman.
Just be well on Friday night.
Well, okay, fair enough. Point taken.
Touché. Yeah.
It was so sort of I don't know. It's meant to be coming to Seasons, apparently. Mm-hmm. So it's not even Angry Birds Space.
Why have we got a picture of space on it?
Because we thought it was going to be Angry Birds Space.
Did you? I see.
This was days and days ago in the distant past.
You were guessing. Oh, okay. Well.
Your disappointment is noted.
Well, finally, I'll finish off the news this week with Pitfall.
Oh yeah, that game. What was on an Atari? Was it Atari? It was Atari. Yeah. So it was a side-scrolling, very old, single-screen jump. Grab a vine, swing across the crocodiles there, land on the other side.
Not what they've done to it.
And what have they turned it into?
Looks like it's made out of marshmallows.
It's Marshmallow Temple Run.
Shit, that's all. Who has made this?
It's Atari's new studio. Well, no, Activision's new mobile studio, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they were set up to do this. It would have been far better as it was. Is there not a version of old Pitfall somewhere on iOS?
I think there is, yeah. I think there already is. I think it's part of the Atari Classics or something like that. But the, we've got a commentator now that's saying it's actually quite good.
Really?
I don't believe him.
They work for Activision.
It's not based on anything.
He said it's not never ending, which is fair enough. To be fair, Activision didn't send us any PR of this game. We just found it on the App Store. And I wrote
weren't you naughty?
Yeah, no, apparently then I broke an embargo, which didn't matter because A, the game was out, B, I wasn't ever told about this embargo, and C, I found the game for myself. So
Journalists aren't meant to find anything for themselves.
Yeah, I know, exactly. PR go crazy if you find anything yourself. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you saying stuff which we haven't sanctioned?
It's not going through the proper channels. At least someone remembered to put Pitfall exclamation point trademark.
Oh, that was me. Every single time it's mentioned, you have to put the trademark in.
That's weak.
No. It's no golden rule, but on their app description, I just thought it was funny that they mentioned Pitfall eight times, and every single time there's a trademark.
It always makes it feel like the game has an inferiority complex.
Yeah. I think EA does this with Mass Effect as well.
It's like Sega, always Sega Corporation or something on them.
Don't you dare forget. Well, isn't this like? I mean, to be fair, what the game is, i.e., constantly running around and from left to right, jumping vines and doing all that stuff. Does that the game lends itself quite well to the endless runner form? In fairness.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I've written. I think it sounds like a perfect sort of fit for the game.
Well,
really.
They made it look?
I know it doesn't look great, does it?
No, that's what bothers me. Why didn't they do something that was kind of true to its roots?
And roots. Giving it two colours and made it entirely right angles.
At least it would look different. You know? But, that just looks like... Yeah, no. I'm sure it would be great. TM.
Yeah, great TM. Exclamation mark. So yes, I might check it out actually at some point. Now that someone's come forward and said it's not bad. I've also heard a few people on Facebook, some people I know, saying it's
fairly... You don't know anyone on Facebook.
Okay, well, some of them are just echoes of my subconscious.
We had those on a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that movie, isn't it? I forget what it's called, about the fish. What's it called?
Big Fish.
No. What is it called?
The movie about the fish.
Woman who set up all them fake Facebook accounts and she...
Oh, so it's not Swordfish, is it? No. Oh, is it? That's a film with John Travolta. Catfish.
Will's like,
go. Never heard of this.
Oh, you must watch it. I've ruined it now.
You've spoiler alert. You've
completely spoiled it. It's a very good movie.
Is this like saying, what's that film where the ghost is the psychiatrist?
What's that film?
Yeah.
Their father. Yeah.
Camo yeah. does it on his podcast where anyone brings up and it's like, yeah, he's a ghost. It's a sledge. Just list all of the spoilers. But there's got to be a time limit on these spoilers. Like if it's 20 years old, then you know.
Do you know what? Do you want to hear a shocking fact?
What?
Okay. I avoided Star Wars all through my youth and did not watch it until I got to university, where someone forced me. And when in the second one he says that he's his father, I said he was lying. But apparently he is his father. So.
You've managed that's quite an impressive feat of trying to remain spoiler free. I'm having troubles just trying to avoid people revealing what happens in the Dark Knight Returns. I was only out 2 weeks ago.
Dark Knight Rises, you mean?
Dark Knight Rises, yeah.
Dark Knight Returns was out years ago.
DKR. I just remember it as that. I can't remember the... see, I've spent too much time on Twitter. I'm having trouble avoiding it. But never mind. Let's move on. Let's go to something a little bit more up to date. And let's go on to new releases. This week on the new releases, hey Michael Jackson, you want to play basketball? No, I'm playing Pitfall with my DMBX2. It's a kind of robot.
Isn't that Michael Jackson?
I like you had to add a qualifier to that one to have it make any sense.
welcome to the new releases roundabout. It's quite busy this week. Well,
I'm not surprised. Michael Jackson's there.
I know. Michael Jackson has turned back from the grave. Indeed, he came out on the iPad in December. So technically, Michael Jackson The Experience is just an iPhone port of the iPad game.
Which was itself a version of the PS Vita game?
No, it'll be 3DS.
A different thing.
It
was on the Vita too.
And we gave it a bronze.
Yeah. I played it on the iPad. I thought it was pretty okay. They've just done some really disturbing sort of waxwork style CGI for the cutscenes. That's the only problem.
Yeah, on the Vita one, I don't know if it's the same one, but they had some strange. They would switch between cutscenes and CGI versions of Moonwalker. Remember the movie Moonwalker?
Mm.
Yeah, and it was kind of odd. And then they did all that stuff on the Wii versions where they have his face kind of like glowing with this bizarre ethereal light that it kind of obscures his features, which may or may not be for the best. But
I don't know what you mean.
Yes, well, it was kind of creepy all the same. It's creepy either way. But the thing with these games, the point is they're playing Michael Jackson songs behind it. And those songs, kind of like ABBA songs, those songs are sort of bulletproof. So you can kind of just, you know, yeah, even if it's just another one of those swipey quick time, you know, dance games, they're playing Michael Jackson behind it. And you're kind of like, yeah, all right, I'll go with that.
It's true. I mean, it works perfectly fine. If you like Michael Jackson, you'll probably like this. That's my review. There you go.
You should do this professionally, Will.
I should at some point. I know. I really should. It just...
if you like the, yeah, I'm gonna use. I don't know. I don't do reviews anymore.
The next one up is Gasketball. If you want to
Gasketball
properly. Trademark.
Exclamation point.
It has a trademark in the title. Although you notice it doesn't go on about it in the description. Note. This is a essentially a basketball physics challenge, 2D, where you go up against another player, you create a court and try and make it nice and complicated, and then they have to throw the ball in and not spell horse before you do, essentially. You spell horse by missing the basket.
Why horse?
I don't know, to be honest. I have no idea.
Does it stand for something?
Hello.
You're trying to make.
Oh. Right. See you.
See. see you
everywhere.
See you is two words.
Foregoing the fact that see you is two words. Is this a thing that exists in real life? Is this this horse rule existing?
Yeah. It was in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
What? Why? How have I got? Is this like Darth Vader all over again? How have I got
American thing?
The 30 years old and never heard of horse.
I think it's
the same way you didn't believe Darth Vader was Luke's dad.
I shielded myself from Star Wars. I never shielded myself from horses.
Welcome them with open arms. This is my problem with not playing any sports games ever, really.
Well, I've never heard of this. This is some crazy American thing, is it? Horse. I'm totally gonna horse you.
I'm gonna horse you so bad.
I think it's one of those ones where you replace the five letter word with other five letter words, depending on how rude you are as well. But I could be wrong. Because you got to spell it out on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, so we used to have fun.
It's a rude five-letter word.
All the rude four-letter ones in plural?
Yeah.
I was just going to start saying them then.
You'd have been heavily edited.
Think of the children, Keith.
I might just start swearing in plural now, just for fun.
Yeah. So, Gasket Ball, Mark played it. He said that it has some rather nasty, sort of a little bit annoying IAPs when you play multiplayer, but it has 100 single player levels and it looks okay. I don't mind, it looks all right. It's free, although you've got to pay $1.99 to unlock it.
Oh, well, give it a try.
Universal this week is Pitfall, as we mentioned earlier, which is available for £69.
Jump on a crocodile there.
Yeah.
What would the RSPCA say about that?
Good jump. Well done.
That could have ended badly for both of you, but well done.
If you find a crocodile who's not happy with where he is, let us know.
I would love to see the slow motion advert of the crocodile like sitting next to a bin in the rain. Like single tear rolling down its scaly cheek.
With a bit of what's his face, Jimmy Nail playing in the background.
Ah, yeah. then a picture of a pair of sort of crocodile skinned leather, trainers next to it. This is what will happen to poor Chris the crocodile.
The crocodile, that works.
It would be called Abraham.
Not Swampy the Alligator, Disney.
Jonathan.
Yeah, they should have called me. If I was in those Blue Sky meetings, I'd have been, guys, shoot from the hip here. Chris Crocodile, what do you reckon? Yeah, it's gold, solid gold.
Pay right. Wait, what about Swampy of the Alligator?
It's not alliterative, it's not anything. Get out. Give me that diet. Give me that Coke Zero.
Yeah, but then Mickey would have gone, hold it! Down on the table.
Yeah.
Oh, that made me laugh. I had to release some gas there.
So that's Pitfall. DMBX2, Mountbike BMX.
Dumpsk 2
is out now as well. It's a mountain bike and BMX game where you pull off tricks like the
hands.
Like the left-sided 180 one-hander and the skinny back bone tail flip twister.
That's how I sit down on the chair before the podcast. That old chestnut.
Look, there's an LS 360 heart attack, but it's spelt like as in Tony Hart.
Ah.
So I guess he popularized that move.
LS 180 one-hander. You have to usually have to pay more for a one-hander, don't you? 180 is a bit steep, if you ask me.
There's a hander here. 6.52 for a no-hander. What did want for that?
I'm not paying for that.
That's a talent. A no-hander.
So, yes, what is it? It's got three different worlds, so you won't just be riding on Earth.
Well, we've been to Mars now, so they'll have mapped that.
12 unique levels, 36 challenges, 8 characters. They're male and female. 14 different bikes, blah, blah, blah.
You always hear that from BMX riders, don't you? I'm so bored of riding on Earth now. I'll go somewhere else.
Reach for the stars.
Try and ride on Jupiter. That'd be good.
No, you just because on the moon with the like 0.8 Earth gravity or whatever it is, you know, like 1080, forget 1080s, it'd be like, you know, 1540 degree spins. It'd be amazing. I'd just be flipping around the whole planet. That'd be awesome. The X Games should do that. The X Interstellar Games.
We've never been to the moon. It was all strings. If you've not seen the comments on YouTube, it didn't happen.
Of course you've been to the moon. That's where Darth Vader lives.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. If you'd paid attention, you'd know, Keith.
It's where cheese comes from. Shall we end this argument?
Go on, then.
£1.49 for Dimmix, and that would result in something in dollars. I can't remember.
In dollars. I will say, it actually looks quite pretty as an addendum. The screenshot's nice.
It does look quite pretty.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Chimpact.
Chimpact.
This is from Chilingo. It is, what is it?
It's got the monkey from Monkey Ball in it.
It does look like that, doesn't it?
Really, it looks like the monkey from Monkey Ball, and it looks like the spiders from one of the Mars. Sonic games.
Oh,
not spiders from Mars. I've seen those. No, spiders from maybe a Mickey Mouse game or something. I've seen that spider thing before as well.
Mm.
Like the spiders from Mars, there you can play Chimpact with left hand because it's one touch gameplay.
I'll give you that one.
Thank you.
I quite enjoyed that.
It seems to be one of those games where you just have to go up the screen.
Oh, that's
a good description.
But then he made it too far.
starting to wear out your welcome.
Damn it. and according to, I'm looking at the screenshots in the App Store, and there are some spiders. I've just seen them. Anyway, so yeah, you collect bananas, you leap up, avoid spiked centipedes, which are.
There's a big emerald in it as well.
There's an emerald, yeah.
Chaos. Someone tell Sega.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't actually look that. When you look, there's a girl one with pigtails, of course. When you look up close, he doesn't actually look too much like the weird named monkey ball monkeys.
Okay.
And he's not in a ball.
Yeah. that far I had gathered. It just looked reminiscent. It's those
he does in that in the screenshot we've got on our thing. He really does actually.
Yeah.
I suppose Sega can't claim ownership for monkeys. TM.
Thank God they'll try. 3 worlds. There's always worlds, isn't there? 12
no videos this week. Who's been lazy? Anthony.
It's been Anthony this time.
I need the videos, otherwise I rapidly lose interest.
One but picture isn't enough.
Think about the listeners, Keith.
They went long ago.
So it's a jumping vertical game. 69p, 99 cents. Happy Squirrels is the next Chilingo game.
Another one?
Yeah.
It's unusual.
Yeah, it's a time management title, according to
according to
Anthony. Let me just check.
He doesn't know what he's talking about, does he? It's time management.
Time management.
Colin, proper. Faith in Anthony, I think. Time management, that's a title of. That's a genre that always immediately turns me off. Just the name.
Don't start this, James. Don't.
Don't do it. Fragile territory.
You're one. Two thirds of this podcast. You know.
Our time management machine. Interesting. See, I can. I would rather just arrange my sock drawer.
See, this looks like a freemium. This looks like a freemium city builder. It doesn't
look like time management. Game.
They've used it though. Look in their description. They said super cute time management game. I think they're distorting the word. They better.
Time management. There's no rapid tapping there, is there?
Yeah, there's not. There's waiting. Waiting and rubbish.
Waiting and rubbish. You've summed up very neatly. Also, I'd like to say that squirrel, is it happy or is it disturbed? It's square and it looks really creepy.
I want to do a quick genre check, though, on Gilmore before we lay into him off the podcast.
You think he doesn't know what
because
time management
what he says time a time management game.
I suspect you're right, actually.
What, one where you have to manage time?
No, I don't know.
No.
Okay, I would lend towards all of the, what are they, the Tiny Tower type stuff?
No, you see, exactly. Okay. Exactly. It's the distortion of the genre name.
Oh, well, obviously, equally confused. Go on, do tell.
Not only are they taking my city builder genre from me, they're also taking my time management. And my God, I will not let them take that.
They will not stand.
Time management's where things happen very quickly. So you have to constantly manage a lot of things at once.
Like all the Diner Dash games.
Yeah, so. Diner Dash and stuff like that. It's where you're spinning plates, essentially.
Serving tables and always making cakes and all doing it incredibly quickly with customers turning up.
Yeah, and yet somehow at the same time doing combos and special moves because you're so good at planning and so quick. You just
time management is amazing.
It's fantastic.
Whereas the other games where you're waiting and managing your time slowly are not time management games.
Yes,
despite the fact that you are managing your time.
It's not a genre because you're not managing time in the game. You're just managing your own time, which, I mean, could apply to...
the game manages your time.
Yeah, in a time management game, you have to manage your time for the game to be successful in the game. Whereas a freemium...
Levels are like 60 seconds.
Yeah. Whereas a freemium game, it just tells you to wait and you wait.
Just a lot of tapping in time management games. They're perfect for touchscreens, really.
They're great for touchscreens. They work really well. The best time management games, you can completely lose yourself because you're so involved in what's going on.
What would you say are the best ones, then? I will
Build a Lot 2.
Build a lot.
Build a Lot 2. You've got to get it.
It's brilliant. All right, I will.
Do it.
I'll get it and I'll blab about it on the next podcast. I'll be schooled. That'll be interesting.
I'm just glad we caught another one, Keith.
It makes this whole thing worthwhile, really.
Sometimes I think I've given up my job, and then someone like this comes along, and you just think to yourself, well,
worthwhile. I still don't, whether this is time management or not time management, or whatever Ant thought was time management.
He's just quoting the description, it's not time management.
That squirrel still doesn't look happy, still looks creepy to me.
But Chillingo know what time management is because they've had a decent time management.
I know they have. You know what? I'm going to check Wikipedia in case someone's vandalized what the...
In case you are wrong and I'm right.
I know I'm right. This is...
Sorry, I know I'm wrong. I'm just winding you up.
Must not react. So Super Mole Escape is the next game this week from brackets. Adult Swim brackets.
Super what the who? Oh, Super Mole Escape.
Super Mole Escape. This is a vertical game in which you go down very, very fast as a mole.
That looks a bit like what's the one I played on Windows Phone where a chickens can't fly and he drops all the way down, much like that.
There's another game recently as well which uses a very similar concept. You're being chased in this one as well. There's a two-player mode.
Last one I remember, there was a penguin one where it was going up.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And it wasn't great from what I hear. But the Adult Swim games always have a good, strong visual style to them. Some of them are better than others, but some of them are really quite good. And they do always have a very strong art direction, which is nice. And this one, too, looks good. And there's a dinosaur in it.
He seems to have died with his mouth open.
Well, you know.
That's how I'd like to die.
Yeah, it's kicking and screaming.
Just die with your mouth open. Sounds wrong.
So I'm going to leave something. If someone finds my corpse on the floor, just leave the note saying, if they find me next, make sure they prop my mouth open.
Interesting.
It's what he would have wanted.
Interestingly, it supports the iCade. That's it's the first game in a while to actually say it's
iCade support. Idiot Cade, as I like to call it.
Ooh. You've alienated three people.
that's actually 2/3 of our viewers.
Exactly. No GMA for us now.
Gummer.
That's it.
Kingdoms and Lords is our final game on the list to this week.
It's a time management game.
It is not. It's a freemium city builder. And I don't like saying that anyway because it's not a city builder because city builders are good. Anyway, it's Gameloft. It's a freemium game. And you know what that means. It means planting fields, waiting. There's actually a certain other element to this one, because I played it in a preview. There's some sort of battling element.
I have to say, whatever we've said about Gameloft and their freemium games, they're making a hell of a lot of money from them. Just like, I can't remember what the exact figures is, but their revenue is like tripled since they decided to go this route. It's just people like spending money.
Do they have any statistics on the kind of people who are actually purchasing the in-app purchase? Like, you often wonder when those people send out the those emails from Nigeria claiming that you have a relative with £1 billion, so you need to wire us 15,000 for the deposit. Like, obviously that is working on some people, but it's only working on specific people who aren't particularly savvy about this sort of thing. I wonder if these time management games, I didn't actually mean that.
You're just doing this to annoy me.
Yes, I am. These games, these not city building games, but freemium types with all the in-app purchases, whether like, you know, your average kind of gaming person are building them, or what demographic is actually making all of these purchases? Is it young kids going in and spending all their parents' money? Or is it, what generation? Who's spending all the money? Is it everybody, or is it just a specific group, do you think?
Who took all the money?
They don't say that. They probably don't know that.
I'd be curious to see.
I'm looking through, because they did actually say how much came from in-app purchases, but I can't find it. In-app purchases and advertising, just kind of money has just jumped.
Because a lot of people that I know who do mobile gaming, and obviously we're some people in the offices as well and everything, don't spend much on in-app purchases at all, because they tend to be kind of like, ugh, I'm not going to bother, or I'd rather buy the game outright or something. So I don't know loads of people who spend money on in-app purchases, but as you say, they're making a killing.
I've bought a few, but just not on games like this.
Get the statistics for next week, someone. That's good. Talk to someone in the newsroom. They can sort it out once they've, put it back together and put out the fires.
And stopped invading Earth.
Oh, more than 60% of their revenue on smartphone, that's it. It comes from in-app purchasing advertising. So it makes more for them than actually people paying for games.
Well, that's bad news for people who like the paid-for games, then.
Whatever, those guys are so 2000 and late.
Yeah, 2000 and late. Like it.
Get into this room so I can tell you to get out of my sight.
I just quoted Black Eyed Peas. It's all going wrong.
And I'm disgusted. Definitely no GMA now.
Before we move on to what we've been playing, I'm going to pose a question to everyone. Not here. I want to pose a question to the listeners. So can you guys put your headphones off, because I want to talk to the listener for a second.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to ask the question, should we turn multi-format this podcast? Because it was raised last week by Jaguar Wong, I think, on our comments, Fred, for the podcast. And we are seriously considering it. So, I mean, like, if you have any major hatred for the idea of it becoming just the mobile gaming podcast, then do say on the comments thread on this podcast story. Obviously, what won't happen is if we did do it, we won't do like, this is the Android section, this is Windows Phone, or whatever. We'll just include news and extra bits, reviews, and maybe a new release or something from Android and our Windows Phone, as long with iPhone. So it wouldn't be that much of a difference, but I want to hear from our main listeners and see what they think, because obviously we don't want to do it if it's going to annoy you all. Sorry guys, can you put in your headphones?
I don't know what you've just been talking about. So.
Can I put it back on now?
Yeah, you can put your headphones on. Okay, so which contestant do you want to speak to first?
Oh, am I on? Oh, amazing. I'll have door number two.
Door number two, let's see what door number two's been playing.
Come on, new Ferrari.
Hi, I'm from door number two, and I've been playing Dragon Islands this week. Dragon Island isn't out yet, so this is a bit of an extra special one. But it's that Pokemon-looking game that's coming for iOS very soon. What was that reaction?
Well, you just sprung a random game that's not on a list, and I'm just taking your word for it. It's that Pokemon game. On your way.
We've covered it before.
Is it time management?
No.
Ah.
Although it does feature time.
Oh. Well, I was half right then.
Doesn't everything?
So yeah, you start off with a hatchling, a little dragon hatchling. One of five different types. So you've got grass, fire, water. It sounds quite similar to another game, doesn't it? And you level them up by turn-based fighting. And you can capture creatures. You don't need Pokeballs. Not that you would ever need Pokeballs. Why would anyone need Pokeballs in such a game? Instead, you sort of pay the in-game currency, which is silver, to capture creatures. Of course, you've got to wound them first and capture them. You get given missions. There's sort of a semi sort of plot going around. It's sort of, you can tell, I'm not completely sure, but I'm pretty certain it's a Western developer behind it, because there's a sort of like, there's not a very Japanese feel, even though the actual turn-based battling is very much Pokemon. Actually, the most interesting thing is that when you do battles, instead of selecting from icons, you do gesture moves, which is quite cool. Because that sort of suits the format. And the dungeons themselves are randomly created, but they're like literally rooms, so you just tap to the next room, rather than moving block by block. So I've played about half an hour of it. It seems okay. I mean, it's a bit weird going to that from Outer Nauts, which is Insomniac's game, which we talked about last week, because they're basically doing almost exactly the same thing, the same sort of feel. Only Blue Dragon's not a freemium game, so there's no energy system running underneath it, which I think actually benefits it. But it's certainly a work in progress still, and you can tell the team isn't that large. Like there's a few sort of kinks around in terms of the art, like animation, etc. But the monster design is quite good, and yeah, it seemed quite interesting. I think if you're a big Pokemon fan and you're desperate to get a Pokemon style game on the iPhone, I think it should be one definitely to watch out for. I'm not that big a Pokemon fan anymore. I used to be massive, but sort of died for me. I think it was when it was revealed Pikachu was a heavy smoker, and you know, that abuse scandal that kicked up about him and Jigglypuff back in 2009.
I thought he was Luke Skywalker's father.
Well, Pikachu.
Yeah.
No, that was Koffer, whatever his name.
Desperately trying to think of another Pokemon name.
God, I got Jigglypuff. That's not that.
Kachukatamon, John.
I could have said Snorlax. I like Snorlax. Okay. But Snorlax doesn't really fit. So after that abuse scandal, I just sort of fell out of the, you know, I lost my way. I lost my role models that day.
Oh. Came back in a fairy and lost a piece of myself.
It's always behind the sofa.
That sounds like your late night chat show. Behind the sofa.
But behind the sofa with James Gilmore. Hi there.
Hello.
Do my sexy voice.
Welcome.
This week's Behind the Sofa, I found an old pack of Chew-Its and two people who are scared of Daleks. Because that's where you go, isn't it, when you're scared of Daleks? You go.
No one's scared of Daleks. They're too funny to be scared of.
I was terrified as a child. What are you talking
no,
about?
No, you're kidding me.
Of course I was. They were terrifying. Daleks were terrifying.
I always found them amusing.
I was so scared. I didn't run behind the sofa. I ran behind DFS.
Yeah.
It sort of works.
It sort of works.
Who's going to take you? Well, I'm going to...
American list is my number one. Yeah.
Your number one.
Exactly. Well done.
Who is behind door number one?
Oh, all right. I'll be behind door number one. Why not? Sorry, I thought this was an elaborate link. I had no idea.
If you were going to take me out to a date, which date would it be on?
To a date.
Well, I probably wouldn't take you out on a date because I'd be too busy playing with Harry the Fairy.
I beg you.
Now. Before Keith says anything,
too late.
Yes, always too late. Harry the Fairy is not some kind of bizarre pseudonym for something, anyone, or anything dodgy. It is a quite cutesy little floaty platform type game. It's controlled by the accelerometer. You've got a little green fellow with butterfly wings who is himself a fairy. You can tell because he's got a little wand with a star on the end, and that's what fairies have, apparently. Or at least that's what that guy told me. He assured me that's what they wore. Although, despite the fact that he himself is quite cutesy, the environments he flies around in are kind of subterranean and filled with drills and kind of prodding pneumatic parts, and it all looks a little bit sort of sinister. But you float your way through the world, avoiding drills, various prodding parts. Don't say anything, Keith. And you have to activate sort of switches or open gates or doors that will only activate if you roll barrels in, kind of toxic barrels that need to be pushed into them. Now, I'm usually a little bit iffy with accelerometer controls, like relying 100% on the accelerometers to control a game, because that can be a bit haphazard, and it depends how well they're implemented, and often I don't feel they are. This Harry the Fairy is brilliantly done, in all fairness. It's one of the best games I've played in terms of making you genuinely feel like you're in control of the thing, rather than kind of waving your iPhone around, going and hoping to God it'll work. So I've been very impressed. It gives a really kind of a subtle control system. It's actually very calming to play. He doesn't zip around like a crazy person. He glides very softly, and when you're going through checkpoints, you get bubbles that surround you like a shield, and it's all got a very sort of I can imagine Enya playing in the background, although something slightly less annoying than Enya perhaps. And the little puzzles are sort of very simple, but they're sort of elegantly done. The look is really, really strong. It's very pretty. Like it comes off incredibly high resolution, which is a daft thing to say because they're all the same resolution. But the drawing and the art is really, really nicely rendered. The only thing that seems a little bit out of place, weirdly, is Harry himself. He's just kind of a nondescript green blob with a tuft of hair, sort of at the top, and he's got butterfly wings, like blue butterfly wings, and his little wand. It seems like they could have done more with him. He's not as engaging as any of your other cutesy characters, and considering how good the environments look and everything, it looks like they've kind of just gone, guys, Poddington P, yeah. yeah, screw it. Possibly merged with Butterfly in some disgusting experiment. But that gripe aside, it looks really good. It's very incredibly smooth to control, very accurate to play with the accelerometer. And sort of, it's not massively challenging. It's pretty easy to work your way out. It's relatively easy, certainly in the early stages. I'm only about halfway through, so maybe it gets really tough later on. But it's definitely worth playing if you like these kind of drifty platformers where you're floating around, where you actually have something to do and you feel like you have control over your avatar, because so often I feel like you don't, and I'm just that situation, when people who don't play games that much, when you give them a console controller, give them a joypad, and then they watch them playing a driving game and they steer with their whole body. How, like, when I'm playing an accelerometer game, you kind of end up looking like that, because you go, no, and trying to, like, overcorrect, because it's all over the place. This, you don't. Really subtle, very small rocking movements, and it drifts along, and you really feel like you're in control. And that in itself is impressive to me. So if you fancy Harry the Fairy, your cue, Keith, go on, say something. You've been wanting to say it for 10 minutes. Go on.
I'm not playing ball.
You're not playing with Harry the Fairies, but no, I'm not.
No.
Okay, fine. No, it's despite him not looking that great, and it's not. It's, I wouldn't say it's particularly tough, but it's very calming to play. Looks good, loads of polish, and excellent controls. So 69p, I think, on the App Store at the moment. Check it out. It's good.
Just reminded me of the Poddington Peas.
Yeah, I know.
Can you do the link into
Okay, so finally this evening, ladies and gentlemen, what is behind door number three?
Where's this come from? I have no idea what you two are doing.
I didn't initially either, but go.
Is this meant to be blind date? I don't know.
It's blind date, the generation game.
Contestant number three. If I had five legs, where would that take me?
Well, I've got three, so no more need be said.
No! No, but if I were to play an iPhone or iPad game...
Wait, what? You're some old northern woman.
On our first date, what would that be?
Well, actually, it wouldn't be either of the two I've been playing this week, Willis, because they're both rubbish.
How did you know it was me? The voice was perfect.
You chapester.
I've been in the spirit of our... there's this thing going on in London at the moment. People jumping and dancing with horses.
Pedocomplex.
I've been playing some athletics games.
Hooray!
I've been playing. I haven't been playing them this week. I played them about an hour ago, in the kind of, you know, spirit of things.
Spirit of the games.
First, I downloaded Tap and Field, which is a good name, because Tap sounds like track.
I see what they did there.
Mm. It's a good name. It's not a good game. I downloaded it, and this could be because I'm playing on a first generation iPad and a fourth generation iPod Touch, but it kept crashing. I think actually it was crashing trying to load into Game Center, so maybe it's not its fault. So
do you think it should have been called Crash and Field?
I think it should be called Crap and Field. But it's just like I'm watching it now, and it's supposedly 3D, but it is jerky beyond belief. It just looks awful. And it looks like it's been put together in about 5 minutes. Someone's gone, hey, it's the Olympics in London happening. Let's make something. All I've been managed to play actually is 100 meters, because that's the one that everyone goes for first, to be honest. So it's one of the typical things where it puts two footprints on the screen, and one you use with one finger and one you use the other, and you tap them as fast as you possibly can to win.
But like a time management game.
Closer.
I'd say, yeah. But yeah, it's a bit rubbish. So as that was crashing all the time, I thought, what else is out? And there's also another one out called Athletics Summer Sports, which looks slightly more professional until you actually play it. So far, I have done the 100 meters and the long jump. And the most of me, you know, when you're playing on, right, I don't know, you might not know this, but if you play on Kinect, right, and you have to play a game where you have to run, and it makes you run like with your back straight, knees up, kind of jogging like an old man running kind of thing. Anyone, does ring any bells for anyone? Will's gone, hasn't he? He's not even listening. I never mind.
He's doing his thing.
Anyway,
I'm in my zone, Keith.
He shouts at people in Skype windows other than us.
That kind of knees up jogging you have to do on Kinect, which makes you look ridiculous, which I'm sure is probably the aim.
Oh God, I hate that.
Is exactly how characters on this game run. It's incredibly amusing because they just look ridiculous. So they're kind of running upright with their knees kind of bobbing up and down, and then it's kind of almost floating across the track. It's the same idea, so you're tapping away like a nonsense to try and get him to the front. It's a free game. You either play things original. There are lots of sports, actually, lots and lots of sports, from not just athletics either. There's other things, swimming and weightlifting and fencing and so forth, cycling. But
kayaking.
Yes.
Waterboarding. Oh no, wait.
But if you want to play them individually, you have to essentially win the gold medal, from what I can see, in each event, which is fair enough maybe with the running, but I've been stuck on long jump for ages now, because you can lose by like 1 centimeter, and then you have to do it all again, and And it's just a...
That's how the long jump works, Keith.
No, in a structured game where they want you to play on, they let you get through with a silver or bronze. But this, you've got to win it, and you just don't like one because of maybe this is like life as well. Like you could jump 8 meters and 80 something one round, which would win it for you the next round. But then this round, he happens to jump a bit further, and it's just annoying and boring and rubbish. But it is worth downloading purely because the running on it is incredibly amusing. But as games that suppose, I'm sure they have nothing to do with the Olympics happening. I'm sure that's just a coincidence that they've come out.
Obviously.
This moment. But if you were an Olympian fan, no, Olympics fan, who was looking for a game to replicate the things you're seeing on screen, the neither of these do that job. They're both pretty cheap naff things which prey on the unfortunate people who like athletics.
And, that sounds so romantic.
That was the most bleak public service announcement ever.
Blind Date was all about just saying smutty puns that you could get away with at 6:30 on a Saturday night on ITV, which is, you know, it's quite a talent actually, but
yes, if you had to iron a pair of jeans, would you do it hot and fast or slow and smooth?
I don't think that would. You'd have to say, and then the crowd go, ooh.
Yeah. They'd be like, well, actually, I'll just put it on to 37 degrees and then I'd go through the creases. Like, no, you don't get this. You're not getting laid tonight. And Scylla would kick them off the stage.
No one has sex on Blind Date.
Smash the device down and just go, get out! Get the hell out!
You just send them some awful resort in Spain and then do that. And it wouldn't happen. And it was Blind Date as well, which was good.
That was quite good.
2Ds.
2Ds that weren't there. Funny, now you've been talking about that running person who, with his knees up, running with his back straight. All I can see in my head is I can see the loading screen or the menu screen of Daily Thompson's Super Test.
Maybe that's where they got it from.
Because that's just got the bloke in the middle of the screen at the bottom, just running. He runs just like that.
I recommend you both download it this instant for free, just to play the 100 meters and see how they run, because it's it made me laugh quite loud.
See how they run.
See how they run.
What?
So, thank you very much to my two panel guests.
Panel guests?
James Gilmore.
Thank you very much, Scylla.
And Keith Andrew.
Hello.
Hello. How have you been, Keith?
Got a headache today. So if you could all keep quiet, this would be quite good.
I'll type in. Shall I type in stuff in the main box?
I'll get out, yeah.
No! Black Cat just walked past me twice. Get me out of here.
Anyway, that's it. Goodbye.
Bye.